Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this week's episode of What the Health Just Happened, where we talk about all things healthcare, community, business, and life. The goods, the bads, the ups, the downs, the lefts, the rights, and everything in between. We bring on some, I'd say, pretty cool guests, right? Unique business leaders, CEOs, executives, entry-level employees. It doesn't matter. Today, look, I'm excited. It's pretty special for me. I imagine anyone listening to this episode local to Northeast Florida knows this gentleman for his contributions to the community, both on the baseball diamond and off. But I want to introduce him as an amazing husband, amazing father, human being, and I'd like to call you a friend. Can I call you that now?
Please.
I think so. Mr. Daniel Murphy, welcome. You ready to smash some balls?
Yeah, this is going to be fun. Thanks for having me. My wife's already been on here. She said she had a blast.
She had a good time.
And she said this would be great fun. I'm looking forward to it.
I would be surprised if we don't talk about prom series some more and your wife, Tori. And my wife and their workout regimen.
They've been in my house early.
Getting after
5:30. I tell you what, when I wake up and those lunches and then the drinks are made and my wife is just walking around just rocking.
Let me give a little context to this. So his wife, my wife, and another wife, Katie Lynch, I like saying Conrad Lynch. Yes. I like giving shout outs to people, whether they listen or not. Stephanie's never heard a single episode, which I love saying that. Maybe Tori's. Tori's is the only one.
She's never heard one.
I just love poking fun of her. I hope she hears this. Dude, they've been working out. You talk about healthy versus not healthy. They work out at 5:30 every Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
How long are we talking?
It ends up being 45 minutes, I think, is the
like
way it
stacks it up. Like intense workouts.
Non-stop.
Comes home.
Just boom, boom, boom.
Getting after it.
Let's go, ladies.
Actually, their trainer I just met, too, he might come on. It doesn't matter. Let's get back to Daniel Murphy. We'll talk about the wives in a second. What teams, right? The teams you... Inglewood.
I grew up here. Went to Greenfield Elementary.
Okay.
Southside Middle.
Let's go.
Inglewood High School. JU.
Boo.
Nah,
kidding. We're
JU.
UNF guys.
I didn't finish until just a couple years ago. So my last year at JU was 2006. And then I signed to play professionally with the Mets. And then came back to school in 20 and finished during COVID.
What'd you finish school in?
It'd be business management, business administration, some sort of business degree.
Did you just want the piece of paper, or was there like a goal to, like, I want this for this future plan?
Well, I always told myself I would go back. But then you get done, and you're like, I guess you got to like go back and do these classes.
Yeah, I got to read, right?
Yeah. And so I end up signing up for a psychology class. No, forgive me. A philosophy class and a U.S. history class, 1865 to present. And it rocked my world.
You're like a history buff.
I became one. So when I got done playing in 20, I got all this free time now because there had been quite a bit of brain space that had been taken up with trying to hit these baseballs and
really
catch them too. Like,
just like a 90 plus mile an hour fastball coming. Like, it's
like, I
gotta
dream
think
it.
About that. You can't just
I would
walk
think
up there
about
and
it
do
before
it.
I go to bed
all day, every day.
Well, because it's just as a quick aside, if you think about it, between the pitcher and the batter, like, there's only so many places he can go. He has to hit the strike zone if I make him throw a good ball. So I can pin him into corners in theory. Well, I'll just wait there. And so when I would go to sleep at night and getting ready for the next day, I knew who the pitcher was going to be. And if I had faced him before, I had at bats against him that I could just play in my mind. And if I hadn't, I could watch film. And so I would just go to sleep thinking, I want the baseball to start here, to finish here, because that's where I can be the most successful. And well, like, he throws hard, and I'm not saying it's easy by any stretch, but what the pitcher gives up for going first is he doesn't get to go last. And he also gets to go less places. He has to hit the strike zone. I can hit the outfield. If this was cricket, I would just get to hit anything. And so that brain space, kind of how I look at hitting, that's just how my brain thinks in baseball.
Healthy.
It was, here's to hoping. It was like I didn't have anything to fill it with. And then I start learning about, you know, Immanuel Kant, and then just the history of our nation. I had one so much gratitude for the divinity of like our revolution, the American Revolution, and how brave those men were there and what they were willing to sacrifice. And then being in the philosophy class kind of opened up a little different part of my brain. I started reading all the books I was probably supposed to read in high school.
Correct.
Like Adventures of Huckleberry Finn.
All
of them. Great Expectations. Like all these books I was supposed to read in high school. Instead, I was hitting baseballs. And so
you didn't read
the
books?
Did it back. No.
Did you at least read the Cliff Notes?
I did enough to pass the test. Each test
Same.
I got
Off
in school, I passed.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
They don't really ever tell you have to retain the information. You're supposed
C's
to pass
rooms.
The test.
C's get degrees, man.
I passed the test, each
so
one of them.
I love that, right? All this brain space on baseball. I'm sure we'll talk a ton about baseball, too, but going back to JU, right? You have this COVID's going on. Had you retired? Like, were you still contemplating?
No, not at all. That's a completely different adventure when that one comes up, when I decide to play baseball about 2 years later. So this past season.
But the JU time, when you decide to go back, you're like, I got time. I want to go get that piece of paper. I want to learn some more. Like, every time we talk, same thing. I never liked philosophy. I'm now getting more and more into history, but you're a history buff now. Benjamin Franklin, don't you love Benjamin Franklin?
Yeah, I read his autobiography. He did. He's got some real good. Thomas Jefferson did an autobiography, and like, these guys are just, I didn't realize how smart they were. Like, just how well read they were, and even the way they formed the government. I mean, so let's just say, like, if I'm a person, and like, I love me more than anyone else on the planet, and you better set up some really good rules that if you get a whole bunch of me's around, like people, that it can stand the test of time. And the rules they set up have stood the test of freedom in our country for 250 years. And I think that today is the greatest time to be living in the history of mankind in the United States of America. And I would say the same about tomorrow.
Love that. I completely agree with that. Like, anyone says it's such difficult times, we're living in terrible times. Like, this is, I think, arguably one of the greatest times to be alive in the history of humanity. Are there problems? Yes. Lifespan's increased. Access to healthcare is better than it's ever been. I mean, heck, you can watch baseball. How many games are in a season?
162.
Oh, 162. You got baseball. You got fantasy football. Like, it's just a good time to be alive.
You have a lot of choices in life in general, especially if you're willing to, like, grind. I think you can kind of do whatever you actually want to, probably more so now than ever in history, right?
Founded by a group of men and women 250 plus years ago that has withstood the test of time.
On Judeo-Christian principles, and they set up rules to the game that they give us so many choices to voluntarily do something. And I found if you voluntarily find something you enjoy, you'll be very productive at it. And so we have people that like to put roofs on houses, and other people like to be doctors, and some are engineers, and some are teachers. And like, the game that we have here, and I call it a game, but like, the rules of our society are, like, where else? Where they haven't been any better I've seen in the history of mankind.
So, you said something there too. Like, you get to make a choice, commit to something. Like, I enjoy this, and I'm simultaneously good at that. Baseball. Like, when did you get hooked on that? Because I want to talk about youth sports in a second. Mm-hmm. But when you were like, I love this game, I'm in it.
I loved the hitting aspect of it as long as I can remember. Just that I think it matches my temperament, which is, so my wife, Tori, she pitched the university at UNF. Pitched there. Swoop. And so the interesting thing about pitchers is they're on defense, but they have the ball. It's a very unique sport, our baseball and our softball. The defense holds the ball. And so, well, I love my wife more than anyone else, but she doesn't act like she's on defense when she has the ball. But you are. Your weapon is smaller. Mine is bigger. I get to go last. You know what I mean? I score on offense. But temperamentally, I want as much time to make decisions as humanly possible. That's one thing I've learned about myself. So hitting, naturally, was something that I was drawn to because I get to act very last in the game.
This is you're thinking this at a young age.
No, this is kind of, I think, why I was drawn to it. And then add in that I was pretty accurate and I hit a lot. And so I got good at it and people cheered for that. And I was like, oh, you're going to cheer for something that I really enjoy. I was like, I'll press that button until until smoke comes out of it. And then I grew to very much enjoy other aspects of the game, like defense, and then you can, well, baseball to me is just so American. I mean, it's a heavyweight bout between two men 60 feet away, and then all hell breaks loose after that. And so it's just an American sport. And so you can go as deep down into the well of anything you choose, and I did that with baseball.
Do you play any other sports?
Yeah, I played, I really enjoy soccer. I enjoy watching it. I grew up playing pickup basketball. Just all the sports you do, like free play. I grew up
free play. We get the kids together. So we coach flag football together.
Okay.
And if not enough kids show up, we'll run a couple plays and it's free play. Just let them go. Mm-hmm. Throw, run. Like, you're great at that.
I think it's so healthy for them. If you can have parents around that are there for safety purposes, but not implicit in the games or the rules. If something happens within the game, the children have to negotiate with themselves. If they don't negotiate, they get no play. But if there's an adult there, they'll negotiate with the adult at why they are correct as opposed to with their peers. So you can just kind of turn them loose. And so you got to figure out, like, you want to play? Talk to your peers.
You talk about philosophy. This guy should write a book on philosophy of parenting.
Well, all this stuff is stolen, but it makes sense. Like, when I hear
original.
It, I try to, yeah, I try to steal the good stuff.
You, man, I keep bouncing back and forth with baseball. One time I heard you said something like, I have young kids, right? I'll talk about my kids. You're more than welcome to, of course, talk about kids. We've met each other through our son's youth sports, right? So my kids are 5, 7, and 9. I have friends who are like just cramming sports down 6, 7, 8, 9-year-olds, like talking about getting them to go pro day one. And you said something at one point, like making Major League Baseball was like dodging rain. For things to fall in place.
It's just assume it's not going to happen. And not in a way to tear someone down or make them disheartened. It's just there are so many prerequisites, but things that were outside of my control that helped me become a Major League Baseball player that I had no control over. And this, like, both my parents, like, stayed together. For whatever reason, other parents don't. Mine did. My father loved to play with me, and he threw to me all the time. And there are just these things that happened. One would be, I don't know why, but I picked the bat up left-handed. I had the platoon advantage. 75% of my career, which means most of the time I'm facing a right-handed hitter.
Yeah.
If you go and look at the Hall of Fame, it's filled with about a third of the offensive players, or a third of it, throw right-handed, hit left-handed. That's what I did. That wasn't anything that anyone told me to do. It's just good fortune that I happened to pick up the club the first time I ever did.
That way.
And that's the way I swung it. And like just little like coaches that I've come across in my career who have invested in me looking for nothing in return. Like I didn't control that. I have Mel Harris is a local coach here in Jacksonville. I had as a little leaguer, like would just devote his time to us. And like what did I do to deserve that? Nothing, but I got to reap the benefits of it. And so I think the best you can do, and when I think of what baseball has taught me, is if you observe what you're doing and you try and be the best teammate you can and someone who comes to work every day prepared and trying to do it as properly as you can, that you will afford yourselves as many chances at success as you can. And I consider success is like getting a bite at the apple. You know what I mean? Getting a shot to hit the mark.
Give me a chance.
Doesn't mean you're going to hit the mark. But once I get an opportunity, even if I miss the mark, I get to learn from what happened when I missed the mark, and I need to try again to be more prepared the next time. And yeah, that's what
reps. Yeah. I love that too. You said your dad would just pitch. But doesn't your brother coach locally?
Yeah, my brother coaches here at Trinity High School. His team is ranked nationally. Like he has a wonderful high school baseball team. He's 5 years younger than me. He played professionally as well, too.
What's
in the Minnesota name? Twins organization. Jonathan Murphy.
Jonathan Murphy. What's up, man?
Jonathan Murphy. And he is, we're very different in how we consume our baseball. He's a very good defender, a right-handed hitter, and he played center field.
Okay.
And so when we talk baseball, I'm a left-handed hitter, and they didn't keep me in the outfield for very long. It wasn't because I was a good infielder. It's just because I was really bad in the outfield, and I played on the dirt. And, like, he enjoys hitting an offense a great deal too, but the joy, the way he talks and the way I watch his teams run the bases is something that it reminds me of the dead ball era back in like 1905, the way they used to play the game. And like that gets like that's well, how about that? Because that's a choice. Running the bases is a choice because you're running them for you and your team, but you're running them for someone else. I got a teammate say, run the bases how you want them run for you. You know what I mean? I want to be the guy on first base trying to score in a double for you. Like, I want you to look out there and be like, that guy's airing it out for me.
This stuff applies to life, too. Like,
I was going to say,
work for your company like you want other people to work for you, or treat your spouse like you want them to treat. It's the golden rule, right? I like that. Run the bases. Like, okay.
Run those bases how you want them run for. Like, if I'm on first base and the guy just hits a ball in the gap, you know what I mean? I know there's going to be a plate. And he's on 99 RBIs. I want him to be excited that I'm the one stumbling into home plate for him. Maybe I'll make it. I'd die trying if I got to. And so, like, but those are choices. You know what I mean? How about this? I've chosen not to fully engage on enough pitches because that was my work. to know that you can choose to do that. And that's when you get the most exposure. In order to hit the goal you're aimed at, you have to be all in. But that doesn't mean you're going to hit what you're aiming at or get what you want.
Yeah.
It just means you give yourself the best opportunity, I think, to get that.
You said some choices, and I'm just curious, right? Do you still follow baseball closely? Are you still involved with any guys in the league?
So I still follow it. I'm following it differently this year, more intently on the Mets, since I may do a couple games for them during the season on TV. And I will reach out to guys that I play with, but I try not to mess them with too much. Just once you go out on that 6 months campaign, you just almost have to become a different person. And so the life outside of baseball exists, but I don't like to mess with their cadence too much. So what I'll do is, like, baseball is all a series of series.
You play series of series.
Yeah, you just like over that. And over.
That's a taggable line.
Well, you play three and four game sets. So say, all right, so I'm talking to the Phillies hitting coach the other day, Kevin Long, and we went and watched Philly play on opening day with my
right?
Yeah, I went to opening day. And so Philly loses the first two games, and I don't want to mess with Kevin or any of the guys because they're getting ready. But I shoot K Long some pictures of opening day and my son Noah. I'm like, hey, Kev, Philly put on a great show. You know, the Fightins will get their first one tonight. You know, today I can feel it. They'll get on the board. And will they go and salvage a game in a series? And he goes, you willed it. And so I can get myself right to where the guys are. So perhaps you're playing a day game if you're the Rockies and you're playing in Atlanta on a getaway day and you've split the first two games. Say, hey, go get yourself a series win on this getaway day and get out of here and go enjoy your day off in Atlanta or in Chicago or something, wherever you're heading. So,
insert city.
Yeah. And I could just kind of look at the schedule where they are and just quickly pop in. Hey, how you doing? Here's where your life is because I've been there before.
Yes.
Enjoy it. Enjoy your baseball. Because you could be anywhere else. You ain't got to be
you
out
sit
there.
Behind a desk
it's a voluntary
a
position.
You don't be in.
Well, it's
true.
Voluntary.
Yep.
And, well, when you don't have any more at bats, you realize you might want another one.
You said something, you talk about choices, right? We all got to make choices. Do you have any choice in moving teams, right? So the teams you played for, you had Mets was first, mm-hmm. right?
Yes, Mets,
Washington,
Mets,
or?
Nationals, Cubs, Rockies. So traded from the Nationals to the Cubs.
You had no say in that.
No say in that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What about the next jump?
Some say with the Rockies, and you could say some say with the Nationals since I signed with both of them, as a free agent. No say with the Mets. I was drafted by the Mets and then came up through the system and played the big leagues with them.
So you have some choices. Early on in your career, you don't. Based off where you're drafted,
can you talk about minor league stuff? Because
the bushes.
The worst part about kind of y'all's is that climb up just takes so long.
Well, the worst part might be being unemployed.
Well, well of course that's for anyone. But like, how many years do you have to stay in the minors before you even get your first shot?
Depends how fast you beat the level.
Okay,
depends how good you swing that bat lefty.
But that's just like,
I mean, hey.
You can only be where your feet are. And I heard a teammate of mine say, you can only beat the level you're at. And it's difficult to be in two places at once. So if I'm trying to beat A ball or double A or triple A, and I'm concerned with what someone else is doing, whose position I may want someone else, I'm in two places. It's difficult to be overly productive in one place if I'm trying to be in two. Best to just go and beat wherever you are that night, and if someone likes the production, they tap you on the shoulder and say, we're going to call you up. And if it's not them, well, there's 29 other ball clubs too.
All right. Laser focused.
Yeah, he's dialed in.
Have you always been like this? Or was there a age where, because I mean, honestly, your sense of gratitude's pretty awesome. And then I'm the same age as you, and the way you're kind of talking about life and then also your approach to baseball, was it always like that, or was it like in your 20s or when you got married that you started more of the big picture thinking?
I would say the big picture came more as I got married and started having kids.
Cool.
And children, kind of like a spouse, rightfully so, will force you to step outside yourself. You know, and ask some questions like, wow, I really loved me more than I thought, like a lot more than I thought.
Man. Yeah.
And then the baseball one, Another friend of mine, Charlie Blackman. Shout out, Charlie.
Charlie, shout
out. He said one time, I was like, how many hits do you want? He goes, I want all the hits. And I was like, that's a beautiful answer. Because I want all of the hits, too. It's like, okay, I also really enjoy Elon Musk and kind of his first principles take on things. You know, this sort of physics first principles. Like, if I want all the hits, well, what's the best way of going about that? Okay, if I'm angry and aggrieved, feel aggrieved by the umpire because he just took a pitch from me that I thought was a ball and he called a strike, well, I can be angry at him and try to hit this ball, but it's going to be difficult to do both. And so it's like, okay, well, now I need to be present here. Okay, also, I get to learn things from the previous pitch or from the previous play that belongs to me now, and I get to gather something from it. Just like if I happen to do well, that's mine forever. And I can recall on it any time. If I happen to have done well against you on the mound, well, now we've danced together. And you know what it feels like for me to wound you. And we've gotten in rhythm. And vice versa. You've got a pelt from me as well, too. I've got scalps taken from me.
Yeah.
But, well, that kind of that dance. Because you can just, like, as an offensive player for me, like, I want to bring the pitcher as close as humanly possible to me. Like, in theory. I want to get you as close as you can and whisper in your ear before I come in and try to drop the haymaker on you. Like Mike Tyson, if that makes sense to you. And so I got this big, but there has to be a bit of courage to get that close because you do have a stone that you're hurling at me at 90 to 100 miles an hour. And I like my face and I'd prefer to keep my chiclets, but I also want them hits too, you know what I mean? And so that's the baseball part that came back to me. And then if I want the hits, I didn't love defense, but they don't let you take those turns at bats if you can't catch this ball. So I had to get at least reasonably good enough at that that I could go take my turns at bat.
And you said it wasn't the outfield, huh?
No, I went out there and wandered about for about a couple months and got pulled back into the dirt.
What was your favorite city? It could be two different answers, to live in and play in. Maybe they are the same.
To live in?
Jacksonville, obviously.
No, to live in New York and D.C. both, partly because D.C. was a home. Was the first time we were in a home, so we signed a 3-year deal in Washington. And so leading up to that in New York, they're all 1-year deals. You kind of have to go sing for your supper, but such is life, you know, ain't the first person to work on a 1-year deal. And so, but the New York, I wouldn't say light, like the scene of the city really does never sleep. And Tori, she loves pizza. She loves kind of not
I
the nightlife,
Tori,
but just
and
the
I
fact
pizza,
that,
yeah.
that you can just go and get yourself a proper slice of pizza at 12:30 at night and feel safe about it. And so we love New York for that. And we love D.C. and Alexandria for the home that we were able to live in and like a family.
Were you in Old Town?
So we were just in between Old Town and George Washington's house.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. You were in a great spot.
It was very nice. It was beautiful. Yeah. We didn't know what we got when we got it, just how nice the area was, the people and the home that we had. We really enjoyed D.C.
I got to think here. We're coming up on the commercial break. We'll have some fun the second half, I think. A little healthy or not healthy. Talk some nonsense. No healthcare today yet. Well, we could bring up healthcare maybe. I just like these conversations, man.
Yeah.
I think
healthcare and baseball. Stay on the field.
Yeah, man.
Like, you got to figure out how to stay on the field.
Awesome, dude. Stay on the field. Mr. Daniel Murphy, that's What the Health Just Happened. All right, welcome back to the second half of What the Health Just Happened. If you're catching this second half on the radio show, good news, you can catch the full episode on your favorite podcast platform. All the podcasts. If you're catching this on the podcast, there is no commercial break. Welcome back again. Mr. Daniel Murphy, we talk some baseball. We talk some life, some philosophy, some America, some founding fathers.
Mm-hmm.
We talked a lot of random stuff there. We're going to get a little random again. Yeah. I like random.
Send it.
Healthy or not healthy? Youth sports.
Healthy. Healthy.
Healthy or not healthy? Youth sport parents.
Probably less healthy than the children.
I would agree.
Most certainly. So I think that the beauty of being a parent of a child who's out there playing.
Yes.
Is that you get to observe and watch your child play. Let them play. If you want to talk to them about rules, you can do that after the game. You know what I mean? But I think within it, you encourage them. And then just enjoy their play. And I would explain it this way. If we're watching a baseball game and say we have one of our guys is hitting and a pitch comes in and he takes a big old wallop at it. You know what I mean? Just a big old lash. And maybe it's not even a strike. It's high. It's over his head and he swings and misses. Well, I'm never surprised because he spends 40 hours a week in school. He's a student.
Yeah.
He's not a baseball player. So, but the cool thing about seeing a number of baseball games in my career is I can usually say things first. You know what I mean? I kind of have the pulse of the game. So he takes this lash at this ball that's maybe over his head, and the first thing you'll hear is, attaboy, swing it. There you go. Get it off. That's me. Which is to remind him, wonderful swing. That was a great lash at it. Now you're ready, which means the fight is not over.
Next pitch. We've only
just begun. Attaboy, take that same swing and get you a good ball right here. Get a good ball. I'll recognize, yes, you most certainly swung it one over your head. Not a record. I've done it myself. You'll do it again yourself. You know what will really get you? You're going to start swinging them in the dirt
on
here
the
eventually,
hoppers,
too.
Yeah.
Exactly. But I say, now get you a good ball. That same swing on that good ball. Get you a good ball. And so what I try to do is take the meat from the pitch before and then immediately set the rules of the next pitch and then go and play.
That's healthy.
Yeah.
I've seen parents that don't do that, by the way. I think we all have.
Well, because maybe perhaps a parent, in an effort to want their child to hit this ball, which is... It's a worthy goal to aim at. I'd say, hey, keep your head in there. Come on, you got to keep your head in there. Let's go. It's like, okay, so now I have to try to hit this ball and hold on to one of these mechanical adjustments you want me to as well, if that makes sense. You want me to stay in the past and also be fully present on this next pitch. Those are in conflict with each other. And so I'll take what happened in the past. I'll attach the good parts to you with you as... You swung at that ball without any fear and great courage. Good for you, because you took a lash at it and you missed. And that's one of the things when you take a lash, you might miss.
Sounds like life.
Now, if you get a little better ball, you might not miss.
Healthy or not healthy, I-9 Jacksonville Broncos, third and fourth graders.
Very healthy. And the I-9 program.
I-9 program.
I very much enjoy that and our flag football team.
That's our team. We got a squad, man.
Doesn't the guy that owned that, didn't he go to JU?
He did go to JU and played
baseball
him. There. Yeah.
He played ball with my uncle.
Doug Ramsey.
Yep. He's a huge dude. I've gone fishing with him.
Did you catch any fish?
Caught a ton of fish in Mississippi, dude, with a bunch of rednecks. It was awesome.
Healthy or not healthy fantasy football?
Healthy.
Okay, you get the number one overall draft pick this year. Who are you taking?
Look that far ahead. Who is the one
right
now?
I'm CMC every time. I just had him last year, yeah.
He is a cheat code when he's available, and he was available last year.
Last year was crazy. Okay, healthy or not healthy, free play.
I love free play. Yeah,
the healthiest.
For anyone, I do free play.
Yes.
You still walk
around with a bat.
Yes, I like sticks and stones.
You got a golf ball in your hand there.
Yeah.
Healthy or not healthy, getting approached in public to ask for selfies or autographs.
Healthy.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very healthy.
I think so.
Well, without that, my son, we went and watched again opening day in Philadelphia.
I saw some sweet pictures.
And we ran into Jimmy Harden, and my brother, my son was brave enough to ask James for a picture. That's not my temperament. See, I would have gone with some, I would have been like, I didn't get the picture because I'm too afraid to ask. But you don't get what you don't ask for.
He rolled up and did it.
Well, you don't get what you don't ask for.
Close
He's like,
mouths don't get fed.
He swung
Close
for it.
Mouths don't get fed. It's a sweet picture, by the way.
That was a great pick.
You got some Braves players, too, right?
A couple of Braves players. Ran into an old teammate of mine, Travis d'Arnaud. And then I used that relationship. We walked by Austin Riley and Michael Harris III, and my oldest son got a picture
with
them as well.
Cool. Healthy or not healthy, solo trips with one kid.
Oh, very healthy.
I love that.
The best.
Individual attention. I told you I love doing random gifts, but let me grab this real quick.
Here we go.
You signed so many autographs. Oh. I figured this time I glued my face on this baseball and wrote Hot Sauce Ross on it. So
with the money sign on the Ross right there.
There we go. That's cheesy. I knew he'd have a rock, but
that's what I'm talking about.
Feel free to
Two
throw
stones
that out.
Now.
Feel free to throw that out. Healthy or not healthy? You got any?
No, but I do have some other questions.
Fire away, man.
Greenies.
Mm-hmm.
Healthy or not healthy greenies. Do you know what they are, right?
Well, you're talking about you want to get beaned up for a ball game. Yeah.
Well, my uncle used to say, like, when he played ball in Venezuela, and he was like, man, we would go down there and everyone would be loaded up with greenies. And he was like, everyone would never have them when they came back. So can you say what they are?
Amphetamines.
Okay.
Yeah. So the old wives' tale goes they have two pots of coffee, leaded and unleaded. And the leaded had the amphetamines in it.
In the coffee?
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah, somebody
this guy's like, this,
hey, this is professional sports.
Somebody's
got to
do this work, Eric.
You know, like Adderall 162 mixed in, games.
It's just amphetamines. I don't know, 20, 30 years ago.
And then there's
those old story, perhaps somebody that I played for once upon a time goes, well, I used to keep one of them in my wristband, Murph, in between games. I was like, yeah, I know you did. We don't get those anymore. We feel all of this. But, I mean, I probably would have taken them if I was there. Like, I mean, somebody's got to do this work.
There you go.
Healthy or unhealthy. Well, it's not healthy or unhealthy. I didn't want to say medical marijuana. Like, I'm okay with weed. I really am. I don't care. If I'm being honest, I don't care. 212, that's my company. I'm okay with it. In sports, good or bad. Like, it's so normal, it's okay. Mm. Like, the NBA, the NFL,
yeah, but
for
NBA
years,
players are showing up high to games. Yeah, that's where I'd, as a player, I would have a beef.
I think where it ends up perhaps being unhealthy is, well, it's like anything. I think you have to be very aware of the foothold that you give it in your life. You know what I mean? It starts as, okay, I'm gonna leisure after a ball game. I'm going to think about this ball game. You know, drink my water, get ready for the next one.
Yep.
Or it goes from,
I'm going to wake up in the morning
and start getting it going. Now it's like, maybe I'll just, you know, I'll go do a workout with it right here. I'll shoot with it. And I'll be a little high and see. Maybe I'll try to, and then it just kind of can, you don't want it to creep into your performance. And so I think it's going to boil down to the individual.
Did you ever have to have a talk with any of your like younger teammates or anything where it's like, hey, bud,
do you ever lecture any younger teammates on behavior?
No, not lecture, because for the most part, and it would have been alcohol when I was coming through. It's the alcohol. And then, be honest, I was reading a book from the dead ball era, which is like the early 1900s, and this guy said the same thing problem guys have now they had when I played was alcohol and chasing the women.
Yeah.
Like, ain't nothing changed. Like, it's,
same thing.
You're just out late at night, you know. And
young
so,
men.
A lot of money.
In cities.
Yeah, looking to blow off steam, you know, like anything else. Like, it's a lot of pressure to go out there and perform. What I've learned is it is not in question that we are going to find an escape from our work. That's not in question. How healthy and in what moderation we use that escape and that leisure is up to the individual's choice.
Oh, choices.
I like that.
Keep writing down choices.
Well, I had a strength coach when I first got to New York, maybe my third or fourth year in, as I was probably getting married, so earlier in my career, and he would just kind of slap me around in these situations and basically reveal to me the choices I actually had. It's like, oh, you're tired and you go home. It's like, you could invest in your fiance and talk to her a bit. That's your choice that you're not going to. Well, now once he does that, I'm not naive anymore.
Yep.
If that, you know what I mean? I'm not naive when I go home and be like, I'm choosing now. You know what I mean? I can't plead ignorance anymore. And so he would just do that with me with all sorts of stuff.
What does a healthy offseason look like? Right, ooh, so 162 games. Mm-hmm. If you make the playoff, let's say you make it to the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
He made it to the World Series.
That's pretty sweet.
He's got some sweet, yeah. So how many games, if you make it to the World Series, how many games does that end up being approximately?
So let's say your season ends at the end of October. So you know, the offseason, usually most of my offseason started at the end of September. Later in my career, into October, end of October. So you're going to take, I would take, a week or two, depending, to just kind of relax from the season. Mostly think of it this way. Like, you haven't, I mean, we're all friends that we play with, but I didn't pick them all, if that makes sense.
I love that. So I'm
going to pick my own friends until I don't want to pick my own friends for the first couple weeks. And then you just, the big break point for me, or the one of the big kind of points on the horizon, was Christmas and New Year. Because from that point, my eyes would go from where we had just come and the campaign and the season we just did to like January 1st in the New Year's, like, somebody's going to have to go do all this work out here.
Yep.
And so it would all kind of work around that. And then, you know, just touch baseballs and stay in shape. I would do it differently now than I did when I played. So I worked more out. I worked out in the weight room more with weights.
Lifting.
And there's a place for that, yep. I believe, without a doubt. I would have traded out a pretty significant portion of that weight room work and just played more baseball. Not necessarily organized, but just touched more bats. So when you think of like Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig, when they got done playing baseball, Major League Baseball only went as far west as St. Louis. They would go and barnstorm west of St. Louis, or they would go down to Cuba and play in the winter leagues. Like, these guys played more baseball, and well, they're the most productive baseball players I've ever seen.
Would you interchange any of that weightlifting with again, like stretching, longevity, yeah. sleep, you know, recovery
long muscles,
stuff.
Long muscles absorb and create force, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's, yes.
I think, I really do think exercise and fitness is changing to that longevity approach. And I'm guilty of it. CrossFit specifically, I beat myself up for 4 or 5 years, and now I'm like, I'd rather do yoga twice a week than I would pick up heavy stuff.
Nice and long, and then you just start realizing that you can use gravity as your friend to get a rep if you can maintain position, or it's your adversary, if that makes sense. Yep. So I think of all sport or movement as an ability to maintain position or not. Okay? So if I can walk and then my legs start turning, I'm going to walk with a limp. So I have an inability to maintain position because my leg is hurt. So when I think of that in baseball, this is kind of one of the things in baseball why I liked hitting so much. All right, in my theory, I know where the pitcher has to go, okay? I know where you have to come. You have to come to the strike zone. So I can start swinging at your pitch ball whenever I want if I can maintain position. Does that seem reasonable?
That seems reasonable.
I know where you need to go. Yeah. I can start whenever I want if I can maintain position. That's where strength comes in. And my definition of strength is inability to maintain position, make your muscles long. So in theory, I could start swinging at your pitch ball last night when I'm going to bed. I know the shape of it. I know which pitches you have. I can see them. I could do it last week, last month. So that's why I liked offense, because it was never reactionary for me. I mean, it was in the moment because they're trying to push me back. But when I was going at my best and really enjoying my baseball, it was very much anticipatory. If the ball came out of your hand in an area where I wanted it to start, I wouldn't wait to see if it would finish where I wanted. If it started where I wanted out of your hand, I was gone. YOLO.
YOLO.
I'll see you when I see you. But how else are you supposed to keep up?
No, I mean, that makes sense. It's just like, as someone that's never played at that level, I wouldn't have thought of it. Is that that's when you're
what
making
your decision.
What are
you talking about? UNF intramural softball? That's really close to the same level. I was probably deciding
when it was at the plate.
No, but that's... And so, well, I'm reading these books, one last baseball one, but these things, these kind of foundational things, like Christy Mathewson was a pitcher at the turn of the century, one of the greatest twirlers of all time. But he said, batters only recognize two types of pitch balls, curve and straight. Now, I was in the Radisson in Long Island playing minor leagues, like less than minor leagues in the independent leagues, like deep in the bushes. And when I heard this, I thought, oh my goodness.
Did they serve greenies there?
That is exactly. Some guys wish they would have, because you need them.
They needed them.
But like, I heard this and I thought, that has exactly been my experience. So I'm looking for like first principles type things. So as a batter, the pitcher has, you know, a two-seamer that is a hard fastball that moves this way, a cutter that's a fastball that moves this way, and then a changeup is a straight ball that goes down, and then you have a curve. You can curve it any way you want. Or I could just look for a straight one. I don't need to know if it's fast or slow. I just need to hit it.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
It does.
And so, well, and like Christy would say, you know, you don't ever throw a left-handed hitter who likes to hit the ball to left field. So he's an opposite field hitter. You don't ever throw him a change of pace. That's a slow straight ball, because he'll swing all the way around and hit it to right field twice as hard. He doesn't know that it's a changeup. He just got a straight ball where he could hit it and keep it fair, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Again, there's so much strategy in this.
Yeah. And so like, I started hearing all these things from like the turn of the century and the way these guys approach the game. And I was like, oh, that's the first principle stuff that I've been hunting for.
So now you add on technology and the ability of you to go study other players at a rapid pace. Is that something you were doing like a pitcher? Are you like cramming a day before to be like, hey, this guy, no, he's going to be throwing it like this. Are you given those stats, or do you have to go seek those out yourself? Or do you even spend time doing that?
So some guys really enjoy the data aspect of it. Like he's, you know, 33% of the time he'll throw this pitch in this situation or the data. I prefer to go and watch the pitcher, his last 10 to 15 batters against left-handed hitters.
Yep.
Okay.
I had a very much of recency bias. Not my at-bats, because I'm not the same person I was maybe when I faced him before. I'm a completely different individual. And I would end up, if I saw my own self hitting, focusing too much on myself. Like I said, sure, I love myself.
I love me.
I would go and watch their last batters, and I would see the shape of their pitches. And so an example would be someone like Clayton Kershaw. So Clayton, when he throws his fastball, where it starts is where it finishes. But other guys may throw a sinker or a two-seamer, and where their pitch starts, it may finish two or three balls away from you because it moves. Why I want to account for that.
Sure.
That way, if a ball moves, then I'll have it start. My eyes, I'll say, I need to perceive the ball starting here so that it finishes here. And if it starts here, I'm gone. I'm not going to wait, because if I wait, I'm going to get beat. That's it. If it starts here, I'm going to trust that it's going to finish here. And if it doesn't finish there, well, I have some new information to deconstruct, and we'll get ready for the next pitch.
What was the book you said you were reading? Or you were reading one about
Christy Mathewson? Pitching and a Pitch is one of them. Yeah.
You're a reader. We talk about books often. Do you ever read The Psychology of Money?
That one
Morgan Housel, I brought it up. This is second cheesy gift. I got one more cheesy one after this. I love this book. I just read it. I know you like to read. It's one of my favorite authors, but I think you'll appreciate that. It's called Same as Ever. Mm-hmm. It's about things seem different, but they're all the same. And I think baseball is pretty similar too, but that's cheesy gift number two.
Thank you.
I like giving books out.
I haven't brought you anything.
You know what else I like? You got something?
I've got a question that's kind of based off of what you were just talking about. Good or bad, is there a specific one or two at-bats that you still go back to that you think about?
Yeah, never really the bad ones, the good ones specifically. So probably my favorite at-bat of all time is against Zach Greinke. And Zach, you have to understand, Zach is like, he's a chess player. And I love playing chess because I didn't have the brawn to play checkers, you know what I mean? I feel like, so, and I like that. And so Zach and I have been dancing with each other since high school. I faced him. He went to Apopka, and I faced him when I was 17 and he was 18. And so we find ourselves hooking up with each other in 2015 in Game 5 of the NLDS. And so it's my third at bat. And I had decided at this point, because Zach had a very good changeup. You know, he called it a changeup, but he would throw it about 90 miles an hour, and it conducted itself as like a two-seamer. And what he would basically do is he would be able to present it to you in a way that it looked very good for a long time, and as you went to go to commit to it, the bottom would kind of fall out of it, and you'd hit it on the ground, all right? If you hit the ball on the ground, you're not going to have success for an extended period of time. The defense is set up for you to hit it on the ground. There's the pitcher and four of his friends in a very small space, and you got a sneaky little sucker behind you trying to get you as well,
too. With a mask on, a samurai mask on.
Better to try and play against the outfielders in front of them or over their heads. So at this point, I decided if I get a chance in this game and I get ahead in the count, 1-0, 2-0, I'm going to auto-take. And by auto-take is I'm going to shut the whole operation down. I'm not going to look to swing, and even more so, I'm not going to look to swing it. I'm going to almost stand up like I knew it the whole way if I think he's going to throw me this changeup, okay? Because I know that if he throws it and I'm looking to hit, I'll swing at it and get out. So if I have a pitch to give away, I'm just going to take it. Just cuss. Because I can. Because it's my bat, and they gave it to me. Yeah. And this is what I'm deciding to do. So we are in, I don't know if it's, it's not a tie. I think it's a tie ball game, maybe 1-1, maybe fifth or sixth innings, my third at bat. And so I get ahead in the count probably 1-0, 2-0. And so he goes, and I go, he's going to throw it right here. I can feel it down in my giblets. It's coming. if I try to hit it or even think about hitting it, I'll be out. So option C is shut the whole operation down. So as he goes into the windup, I stand straight up and just kind of put the bat on my shoulder and kind of walk to him. Like, I'm never going to swing. And he throws a beautiful one. As soon as it goes by me, I go, I definitely would have swung at that. I would totally have been out. No doubt. And it goes by me, and they throw the ball back. And so now I'm 3-1. That's what it was. It was a 2-1 count. Now I'm 3-1. And so no one's on base. So Zach is working from the windup, because I think the stretch is a punishment. Guys only usually go to the stretch when somebody gets an uninvited guest in your house. You know what I mean? So I look up, and Zach's in the stretch. He hadn't been in the stretch this entire at bat. I go, that's unique, because that's a different timing. That's a different dance, a different cadence that I need. And I'm trying to hit the sucker out of the ballpark.
You're trying to hit past those four friends, man.
I'm trying to take the shortcut down the right field and hit it out of the ballpark. So he's from the stretch now. I go, that's interesting. He throws me a fast one close to me, and I hook it foul. And I'm like, oh, man, he was a little quicker on that being from the stretch. So they're like, okay, maybe I can do this. Here's the move. Next pitch comes in, similar spot. Whack. Whoop. Got him. I do a nice little dismount with my bat and just kind of flip that out of the hands, and we get in there, and that would be...
That's the one.
It's one of my... That is probably my favorite at bat, to the point, as I finish the story off, so I'll name drop Zach. It was probably like 2 or 3 years later that we were at the All-Star game, and he's sitting right next to me on the bus. We're leaving the stadium, and Zach and I know each other. You're not we're not best friends, but like, he'll converse with me, and I very much enjoy it. And so I'm like, I'm going to ask this guy. I said, so Zach, you remember we faced each other back in 15? He's like, yeah, I remember that. I go, do you remember you went to the stretch 3-1 in the middle of that bat? I was like, why'd you do that? He goes, oh, I thought you had my pitches. So he thought that I knew what was coming. And that's, so I go, oh, and in my mind, I'm thinking, jackpot.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm going for. I'm trying to play this game here. And that's just the way it turned out, that I didn't have his pitches by any stretch of the imagination. The only thing I had was, if I swing right here, I'm almost certain I'm going to be out. Mm-hmm. So I had done it by this. I had swung enough times in my past before to know better to not even swing here and get to another pitch.
You know my least favorite part of this show?
What, when it ends?
Is that we're on a time cap.
What do we got?
About 30 seconds.
Oh.
Yeah, man. Oh, my gosh. Daniel Murphy, that was a blast, man.
Oh, that was a blast. A treat. That's good ball talk right there.
That's
good
what I'm
life
saying.
Talk.
You're more than welcome back anytime. We could talk healthcare stuff or not, but I think it's healthy life, man. You give great advice. You're a good dude, man. I appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you,
good
guys.
Good husband.
It's a nice setup here.
Trey, Justin, that's what the health just happened.